Okay, so before I went to college, I wasn't doing very collegiate things, which led to me having imposter syndrome while I went to college. I had got in under a conditional admissions. I had to take a bunch of standardized tests, and honestly, I felt like I didn't belong because of my background. But there was a few guys who embraced me, made me feel like I belong. And one of those gentlemen was Will Riddle, aka Badass Yellow Boy. And he happens to be one of the biggest wrestling fans I know. And I'm gonna talk to him today about Vince McMahon. Popping,
yeah, let's do it.
All right, coming out of this podcast, just a man doing the best he can with what he got. And I got a very special guest today. Hey, guy I kind of grew up with, went to the same college, the great University of Tennessee at Martin, and part of the greatest chapter of the greatest fraternity ever, Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated, Blue Phi.
You know.
My homie. From the Bros, Brew, and Botches podcast. What are you going by these days, Will?
Oh, we're doing Yellow Boy on as my alias.
See, I
we're
knew
doing
that,
Yellow
but
Boy.
I didn't know you still going by it. You've been Yellow Boy forever.
I mean, at some point, I got to be Yellow Old Man, but
Yellow
that just
Man!
it's not
Yellow
as catchy. Yellow Dude. Just not as catchy.
Yellow Sage.
Yellow Elder.
Yeah. Hey man, I'm embracing my transition to wise old sage. I'm like, you know what? I'm at that point now. I can start guiding you, young dummies. Like, hey man, let me tell you, maybe you shouldn't be doing it this way. Let me give you some wisdom.
You know, we try, but of course, just as we were when we were younger, it takes that experience sometimes for it to sink into some of these younger folks. So,
Isn't it weird how much we forget by all the dumb stuff we did?
well, some of the things I can't forget because there's constant reminders, but I digress.
I'll be careful with you, man. You know what the bodies are. But I called you today because you have a podcast.
Yes.
That talks about wrestling, or as I call it, wrestling in general. And you guys encompass everything around it. And I just did a podcast about Vince McMahon and the allegations levied against him. And I know you will probably have more insights on what's going on. So what are your thoughts about this?
So first off, for those who don't know, there is a lawsuit against CEO or former CEO Vince McMahon of the WWE and former WWE staffer by the name of Janelle Grant. Look, we're not going to get into the weeds about all the portions of that lawsuit. If you want to find it, it's out there, you guys. It's like a 64 to 67 page lawsuit that entails everything from the disgusting to the most disturbing that you would think of and all in between. But it's, and I listen to your podcast, and again, I can just cooperate with your sentiments that, man, it's something that I believe men with money, especially white men with money, it happens. Not justifying it by any means, but it happens back, you know, backstage. And I think what really it boils down to is, so Miss Grant had signed a NDA, non-disclosure agreement, for $3 million, and Vince only paid $1 million of that $3 million.
Being El Cheapo, like, yeah.
Yes. So when you don't pay your money, guess what happens? Those things that you're telling me to shush about, I'm not shushing because I don't have my money. That's what I feel like. Like a lot of it starts with that. And then, of course, a week ago Friday, Slim Jim decided it was going to pull their sponsorship with TKO Holdings / WWE for their pay-per-view Royal Rumble. Well, of course, with Ari Emanuel, who is the CEO of Endeavor, with the UFC, and TKO Holdings with WWE. That ain't gonna work. He was like, we're losing sponsorship. So, Vince, you're gonna have to go somewhere. They pressured him into resigning. where he is right now. He's resigned from everything with WWE. But I don't think that was going to happen until you had those people with that money pulling out, giggity, from what they were. I couldn't help myself. But they, you know, if money is walking, Ari Emanuel being who he is and where he's at in his side of the company, he's not going to lose out on that money. The reason why they absorb WWE is because of money. So with the Slim Jim sponsorship pulling out, it was only a matter of time before other sponsors are going to be like, nah, we mm-hmm. don't want to be associated with the WWE and what they have going on right now. So in order to save that from happening, Ari Emanuel and the TKO Holdings Endeavor kind of pressured Vince McMahon to go ahead and resign. So that's where we are with a lot of this. And now there's a lot more that's leaking out from the sources that are reporting. Like, of course, this is big news. Like you said on your podcast, you have like the New York Post and Wall Street Journal that are reporting on this. But also you have those aggregators that are reporting for sports entertainment media, the wrestling media and stuff like mm-hmm. that are reporting. But a lot of them are saying, this ain't over. And this is only just the tip of the iceberg of what mm-hmm. we're about to get with Vince McMahon. So it's just very interesting to see what's going to be happening next with that.
I think you have a culture problem here. And once again, this isn't the first time that Vince has been hit with sexual allegations. This man has skirted this for the latter part of 20 years. He's been having mm-hmm. a lot of allegations levied against him. And I am in total agreement with you. When you make somebody sign an NDA, and the NDA is for a disclosed amount of money, if you don't pay my money, then yeah, that NDA is not null and void. And I don't know the pressures. I'm not going to pretend like I know the pressures of being an abused woman or even to call her an abused woman. But if you look at the documents, it's evident she thinks she's an abused woman. Because mm-hmm. some of them things in there, I put like, if half of what's in that indictment is true, dude's a monster. We got to get him out of the paint. Like dead ass.
Yes. Yes.
But if you don't even give me my price money, because look, either you got principles, or you got a price, and I'm not judging anybody. If you make your price known for what you're going to do, but if somebody don't hit your price, then yeah, them principles come back up. Like, nah, yeah, mm-hmm. I'm missing $1.5 million. So let me go ahead and make all this known. So it was definitely bound to happen. I always saw this going to happen. And for anybody who thinks that this is a one-off, I wanted to point that out, because once the money is involved, Ari Emanuel, brother of Rahm Emanuel, mm-hmm. who's over like most of Hollywood, once they got wind of this and losing that money, I knew this was going to be pushed out. Because if y'all recall, the first time, not the first time, but 2 years ago, when Vince resigned, he kind of stayed on as the creative brain of WWE. Which, mm-hmm. once again, I always contend that was the most damaging part of WWE's legacy, man. All those creative characters, because wrestling has always been a microcosm of everything that's going on in America racially. But, you know, when he stayed on there, it was just a stopgap, something to wait till it cools down and he could always come back. I don't think that's going to happen again this time. What about you?
No. And from all signs, this is it. And, you know, uh-huh. we talked upon our stream about this. So, one, you can't tell me that some of the things that we were seeing on screen in the early aughts isn't just a reflection of some of the ways that it was being carried out backstage behind yes. the cameras. Like there's no way. You can't just be that comfortable with doing a lot of the sketches and things that he was doing on camera if you weren't doing those things in real life. There's mm-hmm. no way you can tell me that. Like, I'm not going to believe that you can be on camera and basically degrade a woman to a point where she's barking like a dog, or telling her job is on the line if she doesn't do X, Y, and Z, you know, dance in front of you and stuff like that, or get half naked on national television. If he's that comfortable with putting a storyline like that on television, then you know he's probably, like, again, I don't know this man, and I try to make sure to say this out loud to the viewers and stuff like that before they start to defend or crucify, because with the evidence that they have with Vince McMahon right now, that, you know, it is what it is, but you can't defend some of the stuff that he's doing because you don't know this man. You only know what he presents on camera and stuff like that. But from the text messages that were put out there, like, I don't know if you had read some of the text messages that he had sent to, or allegedly sent, I should say, to Miss Grant. But when you make the comment that I'm the only one who owns you and controls you, or controls who I want to F you, hey man, like you said, that's a monster. Like, there's something wrong with that. And now that all of this is coming out and all of this is being shared, this may be, I will say this will be the end of Vince McMahon, but we pose the question, and I kind of pose this to you now, is, does it matter at this point, as far as the fans, you know, does it matter that it's the end of Vince McMahon? And not to sway your answer, but we talked about it, and there's like two thoughts of this right now, two sides of thoughts, because you have your quote unquote casual fans who just picked this up maybe 5-6 years ago because, you know, they seen something, wrestling, WWE, put it together. And then you have those long-term fans who have watched this since the 80s, 90s and stuff like that when it was really hot. So do you think that does it matter in the long term with the fans?
Okay. And I said this in my podcast. Mm-hmm. The empire has been built. You can put this thing on autopilot now. You're not going to sway fans from watching WWE because of a misogynistic man, because that's basically what we do. That is normal. We in general, as a public, don't treat women like people anyway. And we don't give a fuck about women. We really don't. And I'm sorry to be so crass about that, but that is the get down. It's usually not a woman's feeling that make us say, oh my God, we got to stop this. It ain't women. Women are usually used in position to try to hit somebody physically. And I also said this in my podcast. When it came out in the Wall Street Journal, I'm like, oh, wow, something else is going on in the background. Somebody, in my opinion, this is all speculation, by the way, somebody is trying to muscle this and get a price and get the company from under Vince and get a better deal. I don't know whether it be from broadcasting or they're trying to expand, sell it to another streaming site, take it live to YouTube. I don't know what it is, but I truly believe this is all coming out now for two reasons. One, women have more agency now. They have more agency. Mm-hmm. They can speak up. Two, broadcasting dollars is what I think, truly. But no, this is not going to stop a fan from watching that, because I myself am a flawed person on this too. I can't personally listen to R. Kelly's music because I get disgusted when I listen to it, but I know a lot of people who can't. I listen to James Brown music. Monster 2, beat women, did terrible things. I love right. James Brown music, but you know what I don't do? I don't go around championing James Brown and be like, oh my God, it's great. Right. I listen to it and just keep it moving, which seems like what the WWE is doing now. They're trying to keep this ball moving. They got The Rock and Roman Reigns. They're promoting the hell out of that. Like, hey guys, look over here. Look over here, guys. Look over here. Hey, don't worry about that over there. Hey, would you like The Rock? The Rock is good. Samoan.
Right. The Tooth Fairy.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Yeah. Why don't you look over there? We got Delta Fine Stunts coming. So that's what I think. I think you're right in the sense that it doesn't matter, but it's going to matter in the main scheme of things long term.
I mean, you look at it, it's came about to kind of piggyback on what you were saying. It came, all this stuff has came when TKO Contingent had announced that WWE reached a reported 10-year, $5 billion deal for their Monday night. Well, they're calling it Raw. They're not saying Monday Night Raw for a reason, but Raw to air on Netflix beginning 2025.
See, I didn't know that. See, I knew it.
January 2025, they're going to be airing on Netflix.
So, you're about to get a discount.
And so, you know, the funny thing is that their deal with the USA Network ends in October of this year. So from October to January, where is that show going to be? Because they haven't answered that question yet. From October to January 2025, where is Monday Night Raw going to be aired? I mean, it's only assuming since they had this longstanding relationship with USA Network that it would still be on USA, but who knows?
I'm laughing because I be getting this ish right now. Nobody gives me credit.
No, because when I listen to your podcast, and you know this afterwards, I affirmed a lot of the things that you had said that you did, you know, you didn't know. You was only just speculating based off the information that you knew and from your journalistic, you know, background that you was like, this is about to happen. This is about to happen. And I was like, yeah, it did.
Seriously, I'm always called dumb and stupid when I say stuff. And then it be coming true and nobody gives your boy no credit now. Must be the word out here.
Yeah, I give you all the credit because it just... You know, you're looking at it like an equation. You're like, A plus B is definitely going to equal C here. Mm-hmm. We got the A, we got the B. Here's the C. So, yeah, I mean, they have that. And look, they have the ability for an extension. If Netflix wants to, they can extend it for an additional 5 to 10 years. So that's a total of $500 billion that they could be receiving from Netflix for this deal. And that's not including or anyone saying anything about their extensive catalog that they have right now on Peacock and that's on the WWE Network, which that's going to be donezo, because they made the announcement that the WWE Network overseas is going to come to an end.
Mm.
Yes, because it was the only place that they're showing the WWE Network. It's like the WWE Network ended here in the States, and then when they had their deal with Peacock, and they put all their catalog on Peacock, and it was just a flawed, very flawed system with Peacock trying to maneuver through that. I hate it.
Streaming is harder than people think it is, man. Like, it's going to come to a point where a lot of these stations are going to have to consolidate. Everybody saw the Netflix dollars and they thought that, oh yeah, it's easy, man. We just put our stuff online and people will come. But no, subscription-based model in streaming, it takes a lot of work and people tend to go with the biggest one. So I can definitely see, honestly, I can see Paramount Plus getting out the paint. Your Voodoos, your WWE, it's always going to make sense for somebody to come together with a Disney or a Hulu and then try to take Netflix to war because it can damn near only be one. So I'm totally with you on that. But I didn't know they was closing down the WWE Network. That's a tale too.
Because they're making this deal with Netflix, but like you said, they see the dollar signs and they're passing it along. Because the question came across that, will Ari Emanuel with Endeavor, will they sell the WWE? The answer is a resounding yes, eventually. Mm-hmm. They're putting all their stock into it. They're making it better. They're getting rid of the flaws of it. Flaws being Vince McMahon and some of the others that are, you know,
toxic going work environment. That's the flaw. The flaw is the stuff they was doing is not tenable now in this society. But my question to you is, do you think this cleanup will actually affect the culture in WWE? Do you think you're going to see like less tawdry storylines? Do you think the storylines will clear up and maybe put more focus on the wrestling? Because I think that's the undersold thing about Vince McMahon. The difference between Vince McMahon and all these other municipalities you had back in the day before they consolidated and made WWE is what made Vince different is the storylines. The storylines, the compelling storylines made it so that you can be more engaged with it. But when it came to wrestling, oh man, Memphis was way better than like the WWE. Memphis wrestling was. Also, your Florida wrestling was way better. And even your Western wrestling, they had more high-flying stunts. So what do you think would be the outcome of that?
It's funny that you asked that because here comes my plug here. We talked about that today, actually, on the live stream, Bros, Brews, and Botches on YouTube. We actually talked about that. If there's going to be extending ramifications of all this. And like, we all agree, yes. Like if you go back to 2007 with the, I'm going to say his name, invoke his name, Chris Benoit situation.
Mm.
When that happened, it changed the culture. Like if you remember, it went from that to PG era real quick, where they were focused on CTE, making sure that performance enhancing drugs were taken away, you know, because they didn't have a problem with it. Until that all happened, they started doing the research on Chris Benoit's old man brain that caused him to, you know, whether or not you believe in it or not, which helped to aid in his, you know, murdering of his family. They had to change up a lot. And so like his name etched out of the record books. Like when you hear them talk about the men who won the Royal Rumble from number one, they'll say it's three men. It's HBK, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and pause. You know, and it's like, wait, you said three. I'm only counting two. I don't have, and it's going to be the same way with Vince McMahon.
For those of y'all don't know about Chris Benoit, just to put a pin on that, Chris Benoit was a great wrestler, Canadian wrestler, but he was on steroids. And this actually pointed to Vince McMahon because there was an alleged steroid ring that the claim was that he was actually encouraging his wrestlers to take steroids to be a little bit more buff and more appeasing on that. And it's also allegations. Well, now he allegations. Vince has admitted to taking steroids himself. But what happened was during that era in CTE and brain damage, Chris Benoit went on a murderous rage, killed his family, and killed himself. And that was focused on the WWE. It's when investigations were had. And Vince barely skirted away from that, like barely.
And the bad part about that is, and you can even see the ramifications of that today, that they initially didn't have all the information on it. So the next night after he had passed away, it was a Monday, and Monday Night Raw, they did a tribute show to Chris Benoit, not knowing the whole situation, not doing what they needed to do with their due diligence, and had to basically walk that back in the days coming because they found out what happened. So now they're effectively going through, like you see all this with the sex trafficking allegations, that they're doing their due diligence to find out what's going on before they do anything. So there's going to be longstanding ramifications of this within not only just the WWE, but I think in pro wrestling in general. One of my associates, OHB Overhear Boy, had said something about the possibility of making a withstanding ethics board, which I could see that happening, you know, just because of what's happened now, and just to make sure that TKO Holdings, their investment holds, to make sure that money keeps coming in, they may want to, you know, put together some form of
capitalism. Is the answer, man. Capitalism is always the answer. People ask why we do something in America. This damn capitalism.
Yeah. Always the answer, especially here. But yeah, like I said, you see it with Chris Benoit. You've seen it with Vince McMahon, Hulk Hogan themselves, with what you were talking about, steroids, just everything. And then now there's competition. Beforehand, WWE had a stronghold on professional wrestling, or what they call sports entertainment. And, you know, you had some companies that were out there, you know, you had your indie promotions, and then you had places like Impact Wrestling / TNA Wrestling, and then some other ones. But for the most part, you say wrestling, people say WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment. Now, in 2024, you have World Wrestling Entertainment, but you also have All Elite Wrestling. You do have TNA coming back. You have these indie promotions who are making lots of noise, MLW and Progress, and that's overseas. Progress is overseas in the UK. And you also have the one big in Japan, New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yep.
With
I got Shimmer. A friend in there. Yeah. That wrestles in there. Yeah.
You know, and those promotions have been giving the competition that never was happening back in those early aughts. So in order to keep that capitalism going, you need to do something about this, and you need to do something about it now if you're the WWE. So, you know, with everybody's eyes being diverted from one promotion to another, you want to make sure those eyes are staying on you. Yeah, there's definitely going to be some things that are going to be changing. It's already had some of their personnel changing now, but the question is, are they going to be getting rid of everyone that has some form of association with Vince McMahon in the upcoming weeks, months, years? That's the question. It is that you're essentially revamping your entire staff for the WWE, because they already absolved some jobs. When they did the TKO merger, they seen that it was already, you know, you had replication of tasks and duties. So they got rid of some things in WWE's head office. They went and just got rid of folks. It was like, hey, you're doing the same thing that we're doing over here with Endeavor. We don't need you. Bye. Now, is it going to be the same thing with you had a longstanding relationship with Vince McMahon. You're no longer needed. We can replace you with somebody in Endeavor.
It did seem like a boys' club at WWE. It seemed like there was a lot of nepotism, a lot of stuff going on. And I don't want to put you in the driver's seat, and you ain't got to answer this question if you don't want to. But I will ask you, how do you think something like this happens? How do you get to the point where this could be a culture in a billion-dollar business that's just visible? This is not like a corporation that's behind the scenes. Like, this is something that's on TV every day. And I kind of feel like we as the general public are kind of complicit in this too. I feel like we saw a lot of stuff and we just like, ah, whatever, it's just TV and didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. But, and I'm saying that because as a rapper, somebody who's been doing music, I'm trying to come with grips with all the violent stuff I've spoken in my life, I've rapped, and trying to see what impact have I done on society and maybe some things I could have did better. How do we do that with wrestling? Because we all was kind of there.
I will, and this is me speaking as me, but I will say that it's just like we do in regular society. We cultivate these environments and we make things normal. We normalize certain things. Mm, mm. So in my real life, I work with disabled adults. We make these adults second-class citizens. Mm. And we continually do that because we look at their disabilities and say, hey, they don't perform just as well as us. Even though we know that that's wrong, we know in our minds saying that another person is lesser than because they have a disability, we still roll with it because society says that's what we do. And I can see, like with Vince McMahon, if you have your leader, your head, the person that's supposed to be modeling what you do as a company, and you look and you see him doing these types of things as an employee, you know what I mean? It comes down and trickles down to an employee and is like, oh, well, that's okay. He's doing that. So I can do, you know, if he's out there doing this with these women, I can go out here and embezzle some money, or I can go out here and do this. What is he going to say to me doing what I'm doing when he's doing that? Mm-hmm. You know, and then it just continues because no one blows the whistle. And then it gets to the point, like I think somebody quoted it, like it's like a Goodfellas or Godfather type deal where you're like, you're scared. Like if I do blow the whistle, I'm out. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, Chris Van Vliet, who does, he's an interviewer, not just for pro wrestling. He does lots of interviews for entertainment and stuff like that. Chris Van Vliet interviewed Stacy Keibler. Stacy Keibler used to work for the WWE, also WCW, as a valet slash wrestler. And mm-hmm. she said something to the extent that she felt like she couldn't because it was either her career, you know, she was either going to get fired for saying no to certain skits and stuff like that, or just have to demean herself and, you know, bite the bullet and go and do it. She felt like she couldn't advance in her career or her place where she was at if she didn't go through with a lot of the stuff that she was doing, even though she felt really, really bad about doing some of the stuff that she was doing. So it's just the environment that you cultivate. I hate to say that. Some people are like, that's a cop-out. No, it's not. It's what happens. That's what we do in society.
No, that's actually a good answer. And I will say, not to make it about me, but I actually understand that to a point doing acting in Japan and in Hollywood. I know the pressure of having to perform for a role. It's a lot of roles that I had to turn down. Personally, because I couldn't do it. Like me personally, I couldn't look myself in the mirror. If I put on this grass skirt and this bone in my nose, hopping mm-hmm. around, making wild, man, I couldn't do it. Like,
yeah,
somebody else took that role though. And I don't judge them because that was the role that was given to them. Like they didn't make the decision. The people above them made the decision that this is what they wanted. So I don't blame Stacey for it because there is a power dynamic that we don't even take in consideration. I mean, that's with anything. You talk about mm-hmm. racism in America, black folks' stature in America, women's stature in America. There is a hierarchy that says this is where you belong. So mm-hmm. once again, I could make all and bark all the time. Like, look, man, I want more roles, which I did in Japan. I want to be the scientist. I want to be the doctor. There are black scientists. There are black doctors. Hey, right. Why can't I be in this martial arts movie? I don't want to always be the dumb buff guy. But that's the roles they had because that's what they wanted, right? So
right.
If I'm making money, and I did in Japan, primarily acting. Sometimes I had to be like, damn it. All right, well, I'm going to take this role. I'm going to be the sports guy again. All right, I'm going to take my shirt off again and be the buff guy. Like, that was the role given to me, dude. Like,
right, right.
I'll never forget the movie I did, She's the Shadow, with Adam Sherman. Adam was talking to me, Hollywood director. And when I was looking at the script and I was auditioning for it, he asked me, what do you like about this movie? And I told him, what I like about your movie is you casted a black guy as a bad guy. It's a horrible, demeaning person, but he is the levity in the situation. But you made everybody else terrible too. Everybody in this movie is horrible. So yeah. Now you gotta pick who you like. It's like a mind fuck because everybody's terrible. So now I can fit in, I can do these terrible things and not feel subconscious. Thank you. You know? So no, I totally get that. That's a damn good answer.
Is your role in She's Just a Shadow, just you? Let's just be real. This is just you.
So funny you say that, right? Because I'm in another Adam Sherman movie coming out. Like, I probably shouldn't say this, but Tyrese is starting it. I'm in a movie with Tyrese, Mina Savara, and a bunch of people, right? Yes. And it was so funny. When I did the She's a Shadow, there's a table read, and it's like, people ask you, what do you think about your character? And yes, I was like, I'm going to make this as much as me as possible. I nod to myself, like, you know, all the hyperness, the craziness, the kicks. I'm like, yeah. Matter of fact, true story. When we was doing the little mock-up the table read, he's like, hey, is there anything you think your character would need? And I looked at him straight in the eye. I said, nunchucks. And he was like, he looked at me. Everybody in the room looked at me. It was like four people looking at me like, huh? I was like, yeah, can I get nunchucks? And he went, yeah, okay. So that's that why is, the nunchuck part is in the movie. Because I was like, nunchucks. I want nunchucks.
It's just crazy because watching the movie, I was just saying, man, if this isn't Spade, this is definitely just Spade being himself. Like, wait, this is his humor. This is him. Like, he is not playing a role. He is just being himself in this role. So, but nah, man. I just thought, if you haven't gone see that cheap plug, if you haven't seen that, please go and see that. Like, it's a really good movie. Like, for real, for real. It's not me just saying it because I know the man. I really enjoyed it. Like, for real, for real. And whenever you get a chance, like one of those Japanese models, on my number. I mean, what? Who said that?
I tell you some stuff about that offline. But I mean, it's actually like leads right into the Vince McMahon thing.
Yes, I
think the future of wrestling is going to be a little bit better now. And it's sad that the pivot for treating women with dignity and respect had to be money. But I truly believe that was what it was. It was like, look, we need to find a way to get this for a discount. How can we do this? What do we have on this man? What dirt do we have? The dirt is, dude's a pig. He's a monster. Like you said, those text messages, man, like I said, if half of that is right, if half of that, because that was another thing too. When I read the initial story and it said they seized his phone, I thought, oh, he's done.
Yeah.
He's done in this town, buddy. Like, yo, you're done. Once they get your phone, it's over, buddy.
They looking into it. They got some black and white evidence on you from your phone messages and stuff, dude. It's only a matter of time where they're going to start connecting dots with that money that they're looking into and everything. Bro, no, you're done.
But I do see a lot of guys on the internet sphere too who are looking at the text messages. And I'm not going to say most of the text messages. If you want to see that, guys, go look yourself. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of defense of Vince McMahon saying, well, look at our text messages. Seems like she was into it. And I'm like, do y'all guys not know how power dynamics work? Like, this is her boss. And this is why I always say, sometimes, if you're the CEO, you can't date nobody. Office romances only work if you're on the same level. If you're coworkers, that's doable. But if you're the CEO, just don't do it, dog. Like, you got way too much power over everybody in that company to be dating. Like, you are literally taking advantage of that. You're using your power and stature as a cudgel to say, hey, dog. Because, look, man, Vince McMahon, relatively handsome guy, to be 78 years old. But I'm quite sure Miss Grant, being an attractive woman, she has some other options. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Very much so. And it wasn't a problem until it became a problem. Like, when his wife found out, Vince, I'm talking about, when Linda McMahon found out about this whole relationship, that's when stuff hit the fan. And yeah, that's when the non-disclosures came out because he was like, man, my wife found out. I'm gonna have to get rid of you now. You know, it was one of those types of things. And like, until, like you said, it's sad. And I said this on our podcast, it is very sad that it has to come to things like this to, you know, spotlight things that should have been alleviated years ago. Mm. Now, am I happy now that we as wrestling fans are pushing for actual women's matches, more time for women on TV doing those matches and regular storylines and storylines, not where they have to be in bra and panties,
right,
or fighting in mud and mm-hmm. jello, or just, I don't like you because you're another woman. type storylines, and they actually have meat to them. Am I glad? Yes, I'm very happy that we're to a point where we're, as a wrestling community, where we're pushing for those things. But unfortunately, while we're pushing for those things, still in the back, in upper management and things, there's what's going on now going on. And now we're getting to a point where that's being taken care of, because at the end of the day, when you lose out on money, mm-hmm. you have to take care of the things yep. that don't look too good, even if you are okay with them. And again, it's disgusting, it's deplorable, but that's kind of how big businesses work behind the scenes. And
race is gonna cover it. You know, go to corporate. You're yeah. right, man. The Bechdel test was not passed in any of those storylines with women. And I'm glad you said that, because I think a lot of people look at the wrestling community with judgment and disdain, but it is a rather diverse community. I myself am not a part of it, but I do respect wrestling, because I always thought it's a microcosm of what's going on in America. Like, they've always tapped into like social in America. So I'm glad you said that. Just not to put everybody in the mindset, because when you think of wrestling fan, you think of Billy Bob Thornton in the background. It's all real. It's like, yeah.
And I want to say this on behalf of wrestling fans, because wrestling fans get this flack a lot. Me being the age that I am and being a wrestling fan, I always get the, you still watch that? You know it's fake, right? So I combat that question with this. What's the difference from watching wrestling than going to watching the Marvel movie and
seeing nothing?
Like, it's both acting. You know it's fake, but you get caught up in the storylines. You get caught up with the characters. It's the only difference, yes, the only difference is unfortunately for wrestlers, they have to be these characters outside of the realm of wrestling. True. So when you see them on the street, it's not, you know, you're not talking to our frat brother. He's Apollo Crews in wrestling. But in real life, he's Sesshue Uha. Mm-hmm. That's his real name. But he can't be Sesshue when he's in public. He has to be Apollo, which it makes it different than any entertainment, like with movie stars and stuff. Because, yes, you get invested with the character. But you, for some, I will say there are those fanatics that go a little bit out of control. But you don't see Robert Downey Jr. and be like, hey, Tony Stark, tell me about this, Tony. Tony. No, you're like Robert Downey Jr. Tell me about that when you were Tony Stark. And true. I love you as Tony Stark. So it's the only one. So to defend my wrestling, fellow wrestling fans, yes, that's the reason why we still watch it. It's because of the storylines. Now, I myself watch it for different reasons, because I'm very interested in the backstage. I'm very interested in why they put together some of the storylines as they do. And that kind of deal. I'm not too big on like, oh, did you see the report for the ratings the other day? I don't care about ratings. I don't care about none of that. I'm interested in the storylines and stuff. And what bigger storyline, Elspeth, that we have than having a sex trafficking, sex allegation going on with the WWE?
None. And that's the Common Knowledge Podcast with bros, botches, bros, brews, and botches. Yes, check them out on YouTube. And thank you, man. Like I said, this is a damn good podcast. We got to do it again, man.
Yeah, man. Hey, just call me up. Let me know. And we'll jump on and call myself. And if you want to know about Bros, Brews, and Botches, make sure that you get us on YouTube, Instagram, and on Twitch. We're on all of those. And you can find me on Twitter and X at Badass Yellow Boy. That's BADAZZ_YELLABOI. There you go.
Bet.